And you know, in the beginning of the summer, people feel powerful, and you know, everything is just blooming, and you are in all your potentiality. But as the summer goes on, it you know you begins to feel smashed by the heat. And it is very real. I remembered about this in this summer. Last summer, I just thought, well, that's quite a true, you know, because we begin enjoying it a bit, but the sun is getting us. But I guess you are in the beginning of the summer right now, right?
Not yeah,
Still.
it's interesting that you mentioned at the beginning. I would like to congratulate Cindy and Jill. Good morning. Already now, a few minutes before class, it's interesting that you raised this topic. Already, I feel the end. What do I mean by the end? When the summer comes, there is a sense of something is ending. Some people really like it. There's like long days, and but I cannot explain why, but I don't know. I don't know, maybe. Just can't. I don't. Some people, I mean, the naturally feeling is that people feel like overbatteried. Yes, they overcharge, they drive very fast suddenly, and they have no manners, and they feel like you say, empowered by the sun, by the energy. You don't need much energy to move because it's all the time hot, and it comes with a big head. Yes, but today says, oh, the summer is here. Just, I don't know, just very cautious from the summer. I don't know. I cannot explain that, but who knows? Who knows? We don't know anything. So, and today I would like to speak. I would like to ask you, first of all, if you have questions, if you want to share something, Deborah, Rodrigo, Jill, Cindy. Felipe, you're most welcome to share before we start. Is there anything to share, to ask? You're most welcome.
Eti, I just want to share something, but it's just a comment because I was hearing earlier, seeing, watching a beautiful documentary yesterday about this great composer and arranger of movies, Ennio Morricone, and it's so beautiful. His ways and his life is quite impressive, and he became famous, let's say, for his Sergio Leone's movies, Western, you know, spaghetti Western, and it's quite a beautiful documentary, and let's say that one of the most famous is one of the soundtracks, and he mimetized the jackal sound, you know, in I cannot remember exactly the movie, but everybody knows this beautiful soundtrack, and I was remembering about the jackal. And suddenly a question arises about the relation you made it in one song poem about the jackal and Joseph. And I couldn't actually, you know, fit this. I don't know if there is a relation, if there a relation about the jackals and Joseph. But please, if you have a topic, feel free to move on. It's just a commentary.
Thank you. Everything is connected. So it is, it will connect. The relation between the jackal and Joseph. The Hebrew name or the word for jackal is tan. Tan. This is it. 1 second, I'll write it here. Tan. This is Jekyll. Jekyll. Tan. So it came to be that a line came in a song or in a poem that starts like this. Bashamaim yilel hatan. In the heavens, the jackal was howling. Uvaemek bedotan. And in the valley of Dotan. So the valley of Dotan, or Dotan's valley, is where the brothers sold Joseph. It's a place until today in Israel. You can visit there. Dotan. So it came to be because we are not in charge of what is coming in music, in words, when we speak, or when we, what comes, comes. So it came to be that the poem goes like this. Yes, thank you, Cindy. Bashamaim yilel hatan. In the heavens or in the skies, the jackal was howling, and they howl. When the sun sets, they howl. You can come here and hear them. They're coming from the shore even. They're hiding. There's a little bush there. So, Bashamaim yilel hatan. In the heavens, the jackal was howling. This is a moment. After dark, jackals are howling. Or one, yes? Uva'emek bedotan, and in the valley of Dotan. This is how it goes. So it rhymes. This is rhymes and reason. Yes? Rhymes and reason. Bashamaim yilel hatan, in the heavens the jackal was howling. Uva'emek bedotan, and in the valley of Dotan. Omed Yosef betoch habor. Joseph is standing inside of the pit. Lelok tonet, without a garment. Pasim shel or, strips of light. Yes, again. Bashamaim yilel hatan. In the heavens, the jackal was howling. Uva emek bedotan. And in the valley of Dotan. Omed Yosef betoch habor. Joseph is standing inside of the pit. Bli kutonet, without a garment, without a cotton. Because ktonet is not just a garment, it's from cotton. Ktonet, cotton. Ktonet, cotton. Cotton garment. Omed Yosef betoch habor. Joseph is standing inside of the pit. Lelo kutonet, without a garment, without cotton dressing. Pasim shel or, strips of light. This is how it starts. Bashamayim yilel hatan, uva'emek bedotan, omed Yosef betoch habor, bli kutonet pasim shel or. And then it goes like there are seven verses. Ma'im en betoch hakli. There's no water in the vessel. Yes? Lo dagim vegam lo dli. Not fishes and no bucket. Yes? Rak afel betoch habor. Yes? It's only dark inside of the pit. And so on. This is how it goes. Milonga para José. This is the ballad about of Joseph. There's a song there. There are a few. There's like dub version. There is accelerated version. There are all kinds of versions. So what is the connection between the Tan, the jackal, and Joseph? Since jackal in Hebrew is Tan, and the valley is Dotan, this is rhyme and reason. This is the connection. Now, if we think or take the jackal as some kind of a fox, not even fox, as a wolf, yes? If you relate to jackal as a wolf, ze'ev, so the wolf is associated with Benjamin in the blessing of Jacob in Genesis 49. Binyamin ze'ev itraf. Benjamin is associated with a wolf. What is the art of the wolf? What is the art of the wolf? Ze'ev. 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 What is the art of the wolf? What is the art of the wolf? He has some kind of an art under his paws. He's tearing everything apart. This is the art of the wolf, to tear everything apart. And Weinreb says, by tearing it apart, there's a new order, there's a new creation. So Benjamin is the 12th son of Jacob. This is Benjamin. He is the 12th son. Associated with a wolf, meaning a 12, a zenith. Hello, hello, Fernando, good morning. A 12 o'clock high, as we say. Yes, zenith. There is no shadow. There's a new order. A world is coming to an end, and there is a new creation, because what is 12? It's not just zenith. What is 12? This is the matrix of time. Let's look at it. Let me write it. Yeah. 12 by 12. This is the matrix. If you take a matrix, one chord is 12, another one is 12. You come with a matrix of 12 by 12, and this is 144. Adam, human, or emet, truth. I'm just speaking, I will not write now. So what happens when Ze'ev is coming, or the wolf is coming? He's coming at 12, not as cognitive time. This is the end of the matrix. 12 by 12, this is 144. The moment of truth, the moment of Adam revelation. Look at the legends. At midnight, there's like charm, there's the magic. The magical moment is at midnight. Or the Exodus. Exodus is happening in the middle of the day. So if we look at it, that the Jekyll is a related species to the fox. Not to the fox, excuse me, it's the wolf, the Ev. If the Jekyll is a close related to the wolf, and the wolf, the Ev, makes a new order, the Jekyll, by howling at night when Joseph is in the pit, is in the dark without the garment of light, he is just with his howling announcing of the tearing moment and the birth of new life. Do you understand the relation now between the Jekyll, Joseph, ending of a new era, opening of a new era? Questions? So now there's a tearing. Yes? Joseph is torn from the fraternité. How do you say fraternité in French? How do you say in English? Fraternity? Yes, with the brothers. He's being torn from the family. He's been torn, yes, from the brothers. There's the end. He's torn from the father, from the brothers, from the family. He's torn from his dressing. He's thrown to the pit. But the interesting thing in this story, though, yes, though he was torn, he is the one who is capable of teaching, of putting everything together. He was torn from the brothers, from the family, from the father, from the land. He will move from different merchants, ministers, communities. He is torn in every dimension from the language. But he is the one that what? He can unite, he can put things together. Yes? This is the beauty of it. Therefore, he is not getting any, he does not inherit the land. He doesn't get any property in the land of Canaan or in the land of Israel later. He will not have anything. Because he doesn't belong to the land. He's just uniting, put things together. Do you understand? Joseph does not get any part of the land. His children, Ephraim and Menashe, will get different parts, but not Joseph. Joseph will not get any part. Why? Because the part is not his. Only the whole, the spirit, undivided spirit is his. This is why he can put things together. He can solve dreams. He's in Pharaoh's dreams and ministers in the jail. Yes, he can put things together. Yes, Deborah, yes. Can I ask the relation between Joseph and Jesus? Tearing apart everything and reestablishing, yes? Thomas Mann puts beautifully that Jacob is... Yes? Yes. Yes, Felipe. Yes, Felipe.
It's not just to remember. In Thomas Mann's, can you hear me, Eti? Sorry.
Yes, I can, of course.
That Joseph is lifted in the let's say in the same. I don't know how to the words. He becomes a father as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and I mean he. It's beautiful how is put in Thomas Mann's the relation about Jacob and Joseph when they meet again. So. And I'm sure there are many things to be said, but I didn't know about this. I couldn't remember or didn't read yet that Joseph was put in the same place of the fathers because Jacob says, "Your sons are mine now." He took Manasseh and Ephraim. And in let's say in payback for Joseph, he puts Joseph in another category. This is beautiful. I didn't knew until I read Thomas Mann book.
Therefore, the prophet says, my dear son Ephraim, because once when Jacob says to Joseph that his sons, Joseph's sons, will be like his sons, it means that now there are 13 children. Yes? Usually, Jacob has 12 sons, but at the moment that he says, in a moment of blessing, he says that Menashe and Ephraim will be like his children. So Jacob, in a way, is not his child. So there are 11 children without Joseph, plus adding the two of Joseph. 11 plus 2 is 13. So Ephraim, the youngest son of Joseph, is the beloved one. 13. Also Joseph, yes, related to your sword, the Sefirah that is beyond, yes, 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 he is connected to Sefirat Yesod, yes. The Sefirat Yesod is uniting, yes, unites all the lights that comes from the upper spheres with Malchut. So Yesod can only connect. Yesod, Sefirat Yesod, like Joseph, they don't exist for... Not a sphere, no Joseph exists for themselves. They just serve. Yes? This is it. Yes. It's interesting because he was torn. He was torn from everything in the valley of Dothan. When we open the name Dothan in Hebrew, Dothan, it means give to. Yes, give to. Because do is like to. In English, do, do, to. Do, like duet, duet, the two. So what is Dothan? Tan or ten. Ten is give. Give to. Yes. This is the name of the valley. Scary. I was there as a soldier. We were dropped there to take Israel army is something from another planet. So we were dropped there as soldiers. And we had to hike towards the one of the army bases in the Jordan Valley, and we cross through this valley of Dothan. It's just scary, scary place. Beautiful, but just the thought of what it's... Ten times Adam, yes. Yes, 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 yes. I can tell you long night about this experience of five soldiers being dropped on the road at the Valley of Dothan. How fun it is. Yes. What kind of... Yes. Beautiful, beautiful. It's a green valley. And it has many fields. Yes. It's like you see now in the... In our perspectives, in our time, with our cultivations of agriculture and the development, yes. Yes. The first aim, Joseph was sent by his father. They were sitting at Hebron. Hebron, it means unicity or connection. The father, Jacob, sent Joseph to ask the peace of his brothers, which were, let's say, shepherding or going with the herds around Shechem. So it's a quite long way on the mountain to walk from Hebron until Shechem. And he sent him, sent Joseph alone. This is a beautiful topic for itself. He knew that the brothers are angry about Joseph, and still he sent him from Hebron to walk all the way on the mountain north toward Shechem to ask the peace of his brothers. And he found a man in the field and he was asking him. And the man noticed and showed him the way. So he was aiming Shechem, and then he arrived to the valley of Dothan. Yes, Tan or Ten, yes, is 10 times Adam. And then you have Dothan, two kinds of humans, two humans, the upper and the lower, if you want to look at it. There's a saying, there is a description in the Bible. It says that he say, one of the angels, people say, yes, but there is Ish, a man, yes. A man. Yes. Yes, this is what they say, it's an angel, yes, a messenger, yes, Ish, Yeshut, entity, Ish, man, from Yeshut, Yesh, there is entity, this kind of entity. There is a beautiful, the Bible, as a contradiction to what people think that it's a historical book. The Bible says something very beautiful about the sending, how Jacob sent Joseph to see how his brothers are doing or to ask the peace of his brothers. The Bible says in Hebrew, Vayishlachehu me'emek Hebron, and he sent him, and Jacob sent Joseph from the valley of Hebron. Rashi, that he is interpreter of the Bible, but from the perspective of the Zohar, from the perspective of the secret, let's say, Rashi asks a very interesting question. Hebron is not in the valley. Hebron is in the mountain. So how can it be that the Bible writes, Vayishlachehu me'emek Hebron, and he sent him from the valley of Hebron? Because geographically, this is another proof that the Bible is not historical book or geographical book, because Hebron is not in the valley. Hebron is a mountain, in the mountain. And Rashi also gives an answer. Vayishlachehu me'emek Hebron, and he sent him from the valley of Hebron. He looks at the word emek, valley, as a depth. And Rashi says, it's not a valley, geographical valley, but depth. Which depth? Etza amuka, from deep advice or from deep wisdom, he sent Joseph to ask the peace of the brothers. Which kind of deep advice can it be? This is an open question to you now. She says, Me'etza amuka, from deep advice, not from the valley as geographical place or a form. Emek, valley in English, but it means, the letters means amok, deep. From deep advice, a consult, he sent, who sent? The father, Jacob, sent Joseph. So the question is, what is this deep advice that Rashi speaks of? And you can also unmute and speak. Yes, Felipe? Who would like to answer? Who would like to unmute? Yes? There is a verse in the Bible that says, Vaishlachehu me'emek Hevron. You can also look and find the Hebrew verse now. The Bible describes that Jacob, the father, sends Joseph from Hebron to Shechem, to ask the peace of the brothers. So the Bible says, Vaishlachehu, and he sent him, Jacob sent Joseph, Me'emek, from the valley, so to speak, Hebron, from the valley of Hebron. Rashi says something very interesting. Hebron, the city of Hebron, is not in the valley, it's in the mountain. So how can the Bible write such a sentence? Vaishlachehu me'emek Hebron, and he sent him from the valley of Hebron. It's not true, because Hebron is in the mountain. And Rashi explained that the Bible does not speak about geographical place, but from the depth of wisdom. Emek Hebron is not a valley of Hebron. If you now browse in the English Bible, I wonder what is written there. It's not the valley of Hebron. Emek, Ayin Mem Kuf, means also amok, deep depth. From deep advice, from the depths of wisdom, he sent him to antagonize, so to speak, the brothers. Now, what is the perspective, and this is an open question to you, what is the deep perspective of wisdom? You can ask. Did you hear the question? Okay. I will ask again. Did you understand, first of all, that Jacob, the father, sent Joseph from Hebron to Shechem? Do we understand this fact? Before we continue. Yes, so this is the first fact. He sent him from Hebron, Norse words, to Shechem to ask the peace of the other children or Joseph's brother. This is the first fact. The Bible says the following verse. Vaishlachehu, and he sent him, is one word, and Jacob sent Joseph, Me'emek Hebron, from the valley of Hebron. But Rashi said something beautiful. Hebron as a city is not in the valley. Hebron is in the mountain. So why the Bible will write such a sentence? And Rashi also gives an answer. He says, from a deep advice or deep wisdom, he sent Joseph from Hebron, from Unity. Yes, Fernando, would you like to answer? You can unmute and speak, if you can, if it's possible, circumstances. What kind of deep advice is it? Rashi noticed this. Felipe. Yes, yes, I see. Felipe, Rodrigo, Deborah, just open your mic. You don't have to answer the question. Just to see how do you do today, Cindy, Jill, Deborah, Rodrigo. We don't have to answer the question. Just to see how do you do today.
Hello, how are you?
Hello. Fine, and how do you do today?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Yeah, I'm still following the conversation, trying to wrap my head around it. That's kind of what I'm doing today. Trying to get good. Understanding.
Good, good. Good. Good to hear you. Good.
You too.
That you're here. So Rashi says that the father sent Joseph from a deep advice or a deep wisdom. Now, what might the deep wisdom be? And now we're moving away to non-duality. If no one is acting on its own or according to his own understanding, what is the deep advice or wisdom that, in a way, Jacob sent Joseph? Because no one has the ability to choose. No one works independently. So, what is this deep advice from which a wisdom that Jacob sends Joseph to confront, so to speak, to ask the peace of his brothers, but it's basically to confront him. What is this deep advice or wisdom if nobody has a free will? What is deep wisdom or deep advice? Any idea? If nobody knows anything and everything is just happening, what is this deep advice that sends suddenly Joseph from Hebron? Hebron from friendship, connection, unity, toward Shechem.
I still don't think I can answer the question, but one of the things that I was thinking about before I got on the call was, you know, us being born as clean slate, and then we have all this programming, and now it's a process of being kind of deprogrammed. I don't know. That's the only way that I can really just relate to it right now, is that you just have to kind of let go of everything, I guess, that was learned. But I really don't. I really am struggling with the question today.
Okay. This is also the... It, here is Rodrigo brought the English and the Hebrew together, and the English Bible translated as the Valley of Hebron, Valley. And Hebron is in the mountain. Yes, so there's what's going on. What kind of a dissonance is it? So Rashi says, from a deep wisdom. So what is deep wisdom? When we speak about wisdom, who is capable of the most or the deepest wisdom? Yes? What or who is capable of the deepest wisdom?
It would only be Source. It would only be yes. God, wouldn't it?
Yes, 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 yes. And God is working, or the infinite is moving through different people. Yes? Has many arms, yes? But the infinite sent through Jacob, Joseph, north towards Shechem. The infinite source, Deborah. The infinite source. This is the deepest advice or the deep wisdom that Joseph was sent from. Through, it works through the father. But the father also does not have a free choice, because no one has a free choice. Remember the matrix. Nobody has a free choice. What would you say about that? Because the tendency of humans is to blame A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and so the other, or this is the tendency. This is how people see reality. But what if people are incapable at all, unless they are being animated to do something, to say something, to appear somewhere? Just an example, and here we come to the question that Felipe asked in the beginning. He says, I have something, but if you prepare to... I said, Felipe, don't worry, it finally will arrive. A few months ago, I bought, it was still in the winter, a training pants. And I need to fix them, like to make a correction in tailor, like a tailor, yes? And I learned the skill, what is need to do, to fix it, to adapt it. I learned. And I also practice on a used training how to fix it correctly. So I knew the technique. I learned it a few times. And I was asking myself, when will you do it? When you will fix this that you could wear it? And I asked myself, and it just doesn't happen, because there is a training, there is the kit, tailor kit. What is needed to do to fix it had been practiced a few times, and it does not happen. And like in life, the hour comes to you, the right hour. In Hebrew we say sha'atuva, good hour, when the hour comes to you. And today it happened. The hour invited me, introduced me, and it happened. I think like 4 or 5 months, it was like they were folded, the pants, waiting to be tailored. And today it happened. And I cannot say that I did it. Who is setting the time or the timing for an action to happen? Who? And we were speaking about this topic also in a previous conversation when people go many times. I remember from myself too, but because this is how we educated. You go to university and this is how it go, life according to the book. Which book? Who's writing the book? You can pursue something with power, but you can also, because, you know, there's like new pants at home. You cannot wear them because you have to tailor them. You learn the skill, but you cannot enforce it. You cannot enforce the tailoring. And I told myself, it's like a wave coming to the shore. It finally will arrive, and I could not say when. It just can be available when the time comes, the hour comes, and then you do, and it happened. So who does it? Who directs it? And I see that for several months, and it just doesn't happen. Like, once it happened to me with the book, with the Course of Miracle, I remember, also with Thomas Mann, they were standing, the books, also Running with Wolves. Have you read this book? Maybe Cindy, Running with Wolf. It was standing 5 months, 6 months, standing on the shelf until the hour comes and whoop, and then it calls you in, invites you in, and then you're in the book. This is it. Like this, the tailoring thing. You cannot enforce love. There's a beautiful sentence, a verse in the Bible. I think it's in the Book of Solomon, a Song of Solomon, Shir HaShirim. You cannot enforce love. Don't wake up love until love wants. I don't know how they translated this verse into English or to any other language. Don't wake up love, not to wake up like you wake up some, wake up, you shake something, yes? To do an action. Don't wake up love until love wants, until love wills, until love comes. Yes. 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 Al ta'iru, this is the Song of Songs. Al ta'iru, don't wake up. Ve'al te'oreru, don't shake up. Et ahava, love, before love wants. Love wants to. This is the will of love. Any other will is a foreign will. Because the nature of love is to unite. Is to stitch, like today. What was it? What is to tailor? It's to stitch with, you take needle and a thread and you put things together. This is apropos what Joseph does, to put things together. What is the blessing of Joseph that the father blesses him? Ben Porat Yosef. Ben Porat Yosef. Joseph Ben Porat, son of Porat. What is Porat? You could say many things. But one of them is like from fruitful, like, or from the son of Prat, the river, which is English called Euperatus. One Prat is one of the four rivers. that is mentioned in the book of Genesis. So Ben Boat Yosef, when with this letter you can play and you can compose other words. Tefer is a stage. You stitch things together. This is what he did. Tefer, I cannot just work with a few languages, does not work. Tefer, this is a stitch. But if you again rearrange the letter, you have it. This is solve dreams, and solve patar is to solve dreams and to solve problems. Patar, it's the same letters. Peta fresh is to solve dreams, yes, and to solve problems. Patar. So, the father, Jacob, when he blesses Joseph, he says, Ben Porat Yosef. Yosef, in a way, is not the son of... This is the wise part, or the depth in it. According to the blessing of the father, Joseph is not his son. Why? How can we say that? How can we say that Joseph is not the son of Jacob? How can we say that? How? How can we say that Joseph is not Jacob's son? How? According to the blessing. Because Jacob blesses Joseph, Ben Porat Yosef. Joseph is son of Porat, is the son of the Fourth River, Brat, is the son of teaching, is the son of solving dreams and solving problems. Yes. Yes, it's true. So, it is interesting because in Genesis 49, when Jacob blesses the children, in a way he relates to Joseph not as his son. Do you understand this junction? Do you? He doesn't see him as a son. Ben Porat, not Ben Ben Jacob, Jacob's son. This is Genesis 49. Genesis 49, you will find it. He is not his son. He does not see him as a son. It did not come to me until this moment when we speak. You will find it. It is in the chapter of blessings, Genesis 49, Bereshit Memtet. You will find it in the chapter of blessing. Yes, the chapter of blessing, when Jacob blesses the whole community, he gives Joseph the blessing, Ben Porat Yosef. Today in Hebrew, when you want to compliment someone, you just don't call him John. If you want to compliment someone, you say Ben Porat Yosef. To compliment someone. Any questions? Thank you for being here with us today. I would like to wish each and every one of you a very good week, beautiful life, and hope to see you here again on Thursday. Thank you so much. Shalom, shalom. Toda v'shavua tov.